Romans chapter 8. And so if you're physically able to stand, let's stand and honor God as I read these two verses in your hearing. And then we spend a few minutes contemplating what they mean to us and how we can apply it in our lives. Okay? Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. It reads this way: "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Verse 27. "And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Amen. Our Father, we are assembled here today in the spirit of these two verses. We know we need your help. Not just today, we need your help every day. We need your help to live. And so, Holy Spirit, we are calling upon you now to meet with us in this time of worship. Would you enliven our hearts so that we can truly hear from you? Help us to understand your mind and your will. And grant us great grace to leave this place knowing what you have planned for our lives today. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen.
Well, God bless you. Our subject for today, then, is the Spirit helps our weakness. The Spirit helps our weakness. By way of introduction, what we see here in the previous paragraph is that Paul is addressing Christians that are suffering. The previous paragraph begins this way in verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." These Christians, they come to Christ, and unlike the era here in America, it's this way in the majority of the world, actually, where Christians are being persecuted. You come to Christ and you experience, you suffer for that. It's not a party. It's not people just gathering to select chair colors and to talk about how we're going to have this event and that event. To become a Christian in most of the places in the world is a serious matter, and a matter that could actually endanger your life, okay? So these Christians were suffering simply for coming to Christ. The suffering that they and we experienced began in the Garden of Eden. Yes, it began with Adam and Eve. So when you look at Genesis chapter 3, and you see after Adam and Eve rebelled against God in such a tragic, disastrous turn of events there, that God begins to describe to them how the consequences of sin was going to begin to reveal itself in life. And it's an awful thing to think that one act of disobedience has caused all of the suffering that we see in the world. But that's where it all began, yes? And then the previous paragraph shows us that all of creation is suffering and groaning. Listen at this. Just listen at how it reads. Romans 8, beginning at verse 19. "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to fertility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption, and to obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." And finally, verse 22. "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." Now, I just want you to get some sense of the suffering that's dripping off of those verses. You think of the trees and the animal life. Think of, you see the change. You watch a plant die. You watch it go through the season changes. You watch animals die. That's the point here, is that all of creation is suffering because of what Adam and Eve did. Yes? And it uses the word groaning because creation wants to be set free too. Creation no longer wants to go through this agony that's under this cursed, in this cursed earth, all right? And so that's one matter of suffering and groaning. But it also says that believers are suffering and groaning. Verse 23, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And every person that will be genuine in here will say amen to that. Don't you look forward to the time when you don't have to take Advil and I don't know what you take, but blood pressure medicine or see the optometrist, you know, or whatever the thing. Don't you look forward to those times when that's no longer needed? Yeah, we long for that, and we our souls groan inwardly, waiting for that great day when we'll what? Finally be set free. That's what he's describing here, right? Suffering and groaning. And then there's another little marvelous thing I want to say by way of introduction. Paul also says that the Holy Spirit is groaning. Now, this is really interesting. And we'll see that in the text today, right? Verse 26, I can't read here. In 26, it says that, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning. Too deep for it. So you see all that groaning that's going on in the previous paragraph? Now, I'm just wanting to present this picture before we move to our text today. And then finally, you can see why it is that Paul then wants to give these believers hope. Any true pastor wants anyone suffering to have hope. Right? Hope is what keeps us going. One of the reasons hell will be so miserable is that there's no hope. Hell will be so miserable because there's never any hope of any change. Hell is permanent. Every day, every minute, every second will be the same throughout eternity. There's no hope. Isn't that awful? That's what makes it so awful. Well, that's not the only thing that makes it awful, but you know, no hope is an awful place to be. And when you see people in life who are so discouraged and depressed, that's the issue. That hope needs to be revived. It needs to be solidified, right? And so Paul comes to bring this hope to these Christians that are suffering so much. Verse 24, he says, For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Amen. Now, with those introductory remarks, I want us to try to gather our thoughts for the next few minutes around these two big ideas. We're going to look at what these verses describe as a believer's weakness, and then we're going to look at what these verses call the Holy Spirit's help. Now, I want to alert you at the beginning. This is not one of those warm and fuzzy kind of sermons. You know, it's like those times when you go to the doctor and you know that I'm going to get, I'm going to leave this office. It's like my wife when she went to the chiropractor. She knew she needed some help, but oftentimes to get help is going to cause more pain. Yeah? Right. You ever had those situations? And so, you willing to kind of take this ride with me? Let's just see. Because I think that when we realize that the Christian life is designed to help us, we don't always look for the easy. We don't always look for the happy-go-lucky way, right? Sometimes the medication is a little bitter, but it gets the job done.
Yeah.
So, let's just agree that we'll take this journey together. I haven't said this in a while. This is really one of those times I want you to just buckle up. Get in place, buckle it up, and let's just Right? Let's just write it out. Okay?
We're going to write it out together. With that in mind, then let's look at what these verses call a believer's weakness. This weakness addressed in these two verses are common to every one of us. If you are a Christian, this weakness is just as common to you as it is to me. Okay? You are no weaker than I am in this particular regard that we're talking about here. This is important, please. So stay with me for a few minutes so that we get this. You see that one little word there at the beginning of verse 26? Likewise. Likewise is an important word. Because what it implies is that believers experience this weakness in the same way that believers experience the suffering that we just read, right? Verse 23 said that the believers were groaning, right, and waiting. So in the same way that all of us suffer, all believers have and experience this weakness, okay? Another thing that's important there is that you notice that in verse 26, take a look at that verse. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit helps who? Us in our weakness. Yes? For, you see that word? We do not know what to pray as what? We ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us. So you get it? Us and we. Now, Paul is including himself, right? In the us and we. So there are no spiritual giants when it comes to this particular area. We really have to get this. There are no spiritual giants when every pastors and ushers and everybody, you know, just whoever functions and serves Christ has this weakness. We're good so far? So the us and the we help us see that this weakness is common to all. There are absolutely no exceptions. Regardless of your role in the church, regardless of how long you've been a Christian. The person that's been saved 6 months has this weakness just like the person that's been saved 60 years. Okay? This is really important for us to get and to understand. Regardless of your knowledge of the Bible, the person that's been studying the Bible for 6 months or the person that's been studying the Bible for 60 years still has this same weakness. Yes? I probably shouldn't have given you that prerequisite. Now everybody's going to be sad. You're waiting for the heart. It's not going to be ugly. I see all these sad faces. It's not like that. But it's serious, okay? Because I think if we get this, it's going to help us all. It's really going to help us all. So then, that's the one point we want to accept, is that this weakness is common to us all. But then I want to take a close look at this weakness in its nature, the specific nature of this weakness. Here's the reason why. The Bible speaks of many kinds of weaknesses. You remember near the end of Matthew, I think it's Matthew 26, when Jesus took three of the disciples and he took them to go pray with him. He was going to pray late at night, you remember that? They went away, and Paul and the Bible said that Jesus went a little distance from them. He left them there. What did he say to them? Stay awake. I want you to watch and what? Pray with me. I'm going over here to pray. You stay alert, and you stay over here, and you what? Watch and pray. He went away and prayed for quite some time, and when he came back, they were asleep, right? And what did he say to them? You remember? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? So that's one kind of weakness. We just get physically drained. Our bodies are, and everybody knows that. Regardless of your role in the church, there are times, Jesus himself was found in the boat doing what? Sleeping. Why? Because he was tired. He was exhausted. So physical weakness is one. The Bible also describes spiritual weakness. In Romans 14:1 says to those that are strong to welcome those that are weak in faith. Okay? That's a reality.
And God wants doesn't want anyone being judgmental over the fact that someone is weak.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
Welcome then. Because you too were once what?
Weak.
Yeah. And compared to others, you are still weak. So we got physical weakness, spiritual weakness. And there's a little idiom that's given in Hebrews 12. I believe it's Hebrews 12:12, where it says that it describes people who've lost their motivation. It describes them as having drooping hands and weak knees. Okay? It's a picture of people that are what, no longer motivated. And so there can be an emotional weakness. You know how that, have you ever been just emotionally drained? Just don't feel like it anymore.
Amen.
It's real. For all of you. One of the greatest preachers generations, Charles Spurgeon. Somebody, we were just talking about this the other day. Charles Spurgeon struggled with depression. Can you imagine that? This great preacher, he preached to thousands and thousands and thousands. Many, many, many people came to Christ and converted. Yet after every sermon, he struggled with depression.
Yeah.
That's just reality. No one's immune. Yeah?
And so that's not the particular weakness that that Paul is getting at here. This weakness, the Greek word, I spelled it out for you phonetically there, is asthenia. And it means an incapacity for or the experience of limitation, okay? It means that you recognize that you have this incapacity to do something. Or you recognize in yourself that I'm limited, right? And what I'm trying to do here, I'm limited. But I think the definition that zeroes in on the word as it's used in our context is, you see that next definition there? Lack of confidence, of feeling of inadequacy. That's what he's getting at here. Every one of us has this in us. Those times when you feel, don't you? I'm just not adequate for this issue or this situation, right? And notice this. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that this particular weakness is sin. Okay? So there's no reason for anyone to leave here today with shame and guilt because you confess and acknowledge this weakness. You still with me so far? This is not sin. It's not sinful. That's the reason the truth will do what for you?
Set you free.
Okay. So I'm saying this so that you need to come out of the shadows when it comes to this issue. We all are plagued with this same weakness. Okay? And so it's not sin, nor is it sinful. Here is what the weakness is. You see verse 26 there? Romans 8:26 says this. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. Okay? We do not know what to pray for as we are. The particular weakness that's being addressed in these verses is this statement. We do not know what to pray. Now, by the way, the reason I left far off is that that's not in the Greek. That's not in the original language. And it makes a significant difference. We do not know what to pray. This is real. There are times, what is he getting at here? There are times when it comes to the content of my prayer. You ever had that? I'm really struggling with, I got a situation in front of me. You ever had that? I got a real situation in front of me, and Lord, I don't know what to pray. That's real. Not only that, what it means is that we're oftentimes wrong about our objective. In other words, I look at a situation, and I pray what I want. I don't see it that way. Yes?
I see a person suffering and I pray that they have what? Relief, because that seems like the thing that ought to be, that they need relief. And so we're oftentimes struggling because not only do I know, I not know the content, I don't always know the objective. I don't know what the outcome should be. And yet I still find myself praying. People ask you to pray for them. You ever had that? There you are praying for them, knowing that you're struggling. You ever had? Not willing to admit, I really don't know what to pray for here. You see, because I'm embarrassed. It's like a person that comes to you, your children come to you and they ask you an honest question. Whatever it might be, something that you know is bizarre. And rather than you telling them you don't know, you try to come up with an answer. And that's disingenuous. It's better to tell that child you don't know and that you'll get back to them than to deceive them and they found out that you what? You deceived them. Okay? So we do a lot of harm when we pray for people. And we pray as if we know God's will. You see it all the time. Don't you see it all the time? People go into situations and pray as if they know God's will, and this is what God's going to do, and put Jesus' name on the end of it, and that sells it. That's not true. Now, this is serious. This is really, really, really serious. Yes? Prayer is a serious matter. And when you help others, it's when you recognize your weakness. Don't you relate to people who make, in many cases, been hurt like you? You've got the sense that we can relate to each other. So when a person realizes that you are weak, then they can enter into that prayer with you. You know, there's a theology going on today that you should never pray if the Lord wills. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Because the assumption is you already know the Lord's will.
Right.
So you just pray and you command this thing. You do that. And you see it all the time. You see how dangerous that is? If Jesus prays, not my will, what? But yours be done. Surely, if Jesus can pray that, do you think that, should any of us have the audacity to think that our prayers are, and our knowledge of God's will is so far advanced that we can't get in that same place? Yeah? So, you see where the issue here? And so, the weakness is that we do not know what to pray. And I mentioned three examples, and I think most of you will be familiar with this. You all remember Moses was used to go and deliver. He was God's representative to deliver Egypt out of slavery. You all remember that? He went to Egypt and delivered them out. And got this massive number of people out of Egypt. And, of course, then they were rebellious and stubborn. And they spent, what, 40 years of roaming around trying to get to where? The promised land. They finally get to the border of the promised land. They're ready to go in. And, of course, Moses assumes what? Okay. That's number one, Noah. I get at least three, right? So, they get to the very border of the promised land, ready to go in. Moses assumed what? After all this, can you imagine what Moses had gone through for 40 years, pleading and interceding for this stubborn bunch? And at least I ought to go what?
In.
And he prayed that way. Yes?
Now, some of you already know where I'm going with this, don't you? Remember when the children were up here and told you you should never assume? You know what pleases God? In Deuteronomy 23, verse 25, it says, Deuteronomy 3, 25 and 26. Okay, listen to 25. Please let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill country, Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me because of you and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, enough from you. Do not speak to me of this matter again. Do you think Moses went in? So you see, Moses was considered the friend of God, the man who speaks to God, what? Face to face, but he still had this weakness, just like you and I do. His prayers could be in error, just like ours. Jeremiah, there's so many examples, but Jeremiah 15, where Jeremiah is pleading for Israel, and God said, if Moses or any other prophet stood before me, I won't change my mind about these people. Get them out of my sight. You all know the story of Paul and the thorn. Most people know the story of the thorn in the flesh, right? With Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, where he prayed three times for God to remove it. Did God remove it? No. He says, you got to keep that one for the rest of your life. You need that to make you weak. Once he knew God's will, he says, well, I'm good. I'd rather boast in these infirmities and weaknesses that I have, because when I am what? Weak, then I'm strong. So, just like every one of us, Paul assumed that if I just didn't have this one problem, I'd be such a great Christian. You got that? If it wasn't for this one issue, this one person, these bills, I would be such a wonderful Christian. But you're wrong, my brother, my sister. You shouldn't assume that. So you just keep banging on the door that God changes that when your assumption may be wrong. You get it? So this is an important matter. And I'll leave that point with you. I want you to think about this. We don't know how to pray oftentimes in life when it comes to our family. Amen. Situations going in our family that we like relief on, but you have to confess, I really don't know what to pray about this situation, right? Our finances. All of us would like financial relief. But God may have you there for a specific reason. And it may not just be for a month or two. Yeah? Health? Church problems. The list goes on. Employment, education. And I know someone here will say, well, Brother Willie, I always pray the scriptures. That sounds so religious, right?
Yeah.
I always pray the scriptures. So how can I go wrong when I pray the scriptures? But here's the problem. How do you know what scripture applies to that situation? You see? I can make the wrong. Yeah, the scripture is true. But the application may be wrong. You see? And so I err in my content. That doesn't mean that the scripture you prayed was wrong. It's just that you put it in the wrong place. You applied it to the wrong situation, which made the prayer in error. You see what I'm saying? So I leave that point with this statement. Our weakness is the error in the content and objective of our prayers. Did you follow that? That's our weakness. And it's not sin. It's not a sin. It actually will liberate me when I understand that, to keep me from being presumptuous when I pray. As a matter of fact, David prayed that, Lord, keep me back from what? Presumptuous sin. And it'll help us with so many ineffective prayers.
just being exasperated because of prayers that I prayed for weeks or months or years. Okay? We good so far? All right. Now, I'm so thankful that that's not the end of the story. Okay? Aren't you? I'm so thankful that that's not the end of the story, because he moves right then into the Spirit's help. Now, just as we saw with the weakness that's common to all, this help from the Spirit is common to all. You see what verse 26? Likewise, the Spirit helps us. It's just as the believers got help in those previous verses, in the same way we get help when believers got help when they were suffering, in the same way we're going to get help with this particular weakness. You notice that those same pronouns, you know, the Spirit helps us, it's we who do not know, it's we who ought to know how to pray, it's he intercedes for us. That means that this help is common to all of us, okay? It's common to all of us. There are no exceptions. Every Christian in this room gets as much help as I or any other pastor does. The Holy Spirit is not prejudiced. He doesn't show preferences. Aren't you thankful for that? It's like that light. That light just shines. Whoever comes into that light, guess what? The benefit of that light. The Holy Spirit will help anyone who opens their heart and who yields to him. Isn't that good news? And so when it comes to this, I really want to commend you to this thought. The reason every one of us needs this help is because every one of us as a Christian should want to pray right. You remember what he said? We do not know how to pray. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. Every Christian in here should desire to pray right prayers. And if you hadn't thought about that before today, I just hope you will. Make that a desire of yours. Lord, help me to pray right. And if I don't know what to pray, what should I do? Not only ask, be quiet. You understand what I'm saying? There are times when you don't know what to say, just don't say anything. Amen. So for most of us, when we think of prayer, we think of what? Us? What? Talking to God. Is that the essence of prayer? Prayer is communication. So, at those times when I don't know what to say, what? Listen. You think God has difficulty communicating? Absolutely not. Yes? And the Spirit is here to help. Now, this is going to be a little different what we're about to address now. This is the core for the next 10 minutes. This is what I really want to zero in on. I want to really drill down on the specific nature of the Spirit's help. Now, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, does not help us by removing the weakness. That's not the help that comes from God. Right? Paul is confessing that he has that weakness just like every other Christian, and the Holy Spirit did not remove the weakness from him. Neither, now follow this, neither does he lessen the weakness. You good? Now, this is really important, because there are two ways in this verse, in this context, that it says the Holy Spirit helps us. You ready to see what they are? Number one, the Holy Spirit helps us, this is the way I worded it, by praying for us intensely beyond human comprehension. Now, I want you to think about that. It was difficult writing that statement out, but I want you to really think about it. The Holy Spirit helps us by praying for us beyond human comprehension. Now, follow this, because this verse has been interpreted a lot of ways.
But I purposely took this time because I wanted you to follow the interpretation. Look at the verse. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with what? Groanings what? What are the groanings? Too deep for what?
Words.
It's beyond audibility. Beyond human capability to communicate. And so this is not tongues because it's beyond what? It's beyond words. Okay? Now this is really marvelous. It's marvelous. This is marvelous. So don't dig your heels in and say, I believe something different. Just follow me on this. It's beyond human comprehension. These groanings, number one, they're the groanings of who? The Holy Spirit. Now I know some have interpreted this from Galatians to say as the Spirit cries through us, Abba Father. This verse doesn't say the Spirit cries through us, does it? Who is it that's interceding? It says the Holy Spirit prays. The Holy Spirit intercedes, right? And he's doing it what? For, not through us. He's doing it what?
For
us. With these groanings too deep for human comfort. This is so wonderful now. One theologian called it, this is intertrinitarian communication. What do you mean, bro, with it? Oh, this is so good. This is the Holy Spirit communicating with God the Father for you.
Yeah.
Isn't this wonderful?
Yes.
I'm sitting here struggling. I'm just stumbling all over my words, and I just feel like this prayer is not even getting above my head. I'm just sitting here struggling, and what God is saying to you, yeah, but the Holy Spirit's got it. He's praying for you far beyond what you can do. Now this is really wonderful. That's the good part right there. That's part of it. You get that. Other vernacular, it gets good.
All right.
It's wonderful. So he's praying with these groanings that are deep, but then look at my second statement. And he's praying according to the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? Get both of them. Put it together now. The Holy Spirit is praying for you. And he's praying according to the will of God. Isn't that wonderful? There's no guesswork going on here. It's for me and it's according to God's will. You get this? You see it? Yeah. You see that right there? Because the Spirit, what? Intercedes for the saint, what? According to the will of God. This is so, so, so important. 1 John 5, I believe it is, says that this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, and that which we have asked, we have that request that we have asked of him. Now, if you and I can have the confidence that if you pray anything according to God's will, he hears it and he's going to answer, think about how wonderful it is when the Holy Spirit is praying what? According to God's will. That prayer, I wish I could communicate this. That prayer is for us. Now, look at my statement. The Holy Spirit understands our groans and prays the perfect prayer for us. This is wonderful. He understands my suffering. All those groans we talked about in verse 23. Amen. You ever had those times when you look at a situation and all you can do is say, everything in you is just, there's no words to say. Seems like anything I say here is going to mess it up. You ever had that?
Amen.
Now the Holy Spirit understands that. He understands that you want to comfort someone, but you just don't have it. It's just not there. So he takes that and he packages it
packages it together in this perfect prayer for you. This prayer is specific for you and that situation. It's beneficial for you and that situation, and it's effective. How do you know, Brother Willie? Do you? What is God going to say to that prayer? Yes. Absolutely. That prayer is not only heard, it's effective. And then lastly, I want to encourage you this way. God has direct access to our hearts when we're...
You notice how the first of verse 27, it says, he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. There are times when you're struggling for words, God goes directly to your heart. Because he knows you can't get it out. You're messing it all up with your words. Aren't you thankful for that? You get done with a prayer and you just feel like that was the goofiest thing I could have ever said. Yeah, really. That didn't even make sense to me. But then God looks at the heart and he knows the intent of your heart. It says in the words of the psalmist 139, you know the words before they ever reach my tongue. Isn't that good? You know them. So it is impossible for us alone to know God's will for all situations. I want to tell you, I'm 66 years old. I've been married for 40 years next Sunday. I've been a father for 36 years. I've been saved for 38 years. I worked for Southwestern Bell for 27 years. I've been a pastor for 33 years. And I can tell you, in all that time, I faced some situations where I most assuredly didn't know what to pray. Situations that I can't talk to you about. And you've had the same situations in your life, in your journey, where you knew you didn't know what to pray. But I've learned along the way that some of my prayers were in error. Because I prayed anyway. We are children who are learning. Right? You remember disciples with Christ, they watch him pray, and as a result of watching Christ pray, you know what they say? Teach what? Us to pray. My brother, my sister, we're always in Christ's classroom. He's teaching us right now if we will learn. He's teaching us with the hard situations of life if we will learn. And so this is my statement. With this section. Our help is the Holy Spirit himself who prays perfect prayers for us. That's our help. That's our confidence. That's our hope. So in conclusion, I want to say that there are many, many, many other things to learn about prayer. But today we were only addressing this particular area of weakness, all right? Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, we do not need to deny this weakness. We do not need to deny the fact that we have this weakness in prayer. We should not feel defeated or perplexed or give up on prayer because of this weakness. It's common to everyone. It's common to all of us. Amen? It's a lifelong weakness. God does not plan to remove the weakness. He does not plan to lessen it in any fashion. Therefore, we must face this weakness in faith and wholeheartedly depend upon the Holy Spirit to help us with this weakness. We must trust the Holy Spirit to pray for us when we do not know what to pray. Pray for us when we do not know what to ask. Pray for us when we do not know what to seek. Pray for us when we don't know how or if a scripture applies. Pray for us when we don't know when or if God plans to heal. When or if God plans to deliver. To pray for us when someone you love is suffering and you don't know what to do. You must trust the Holy Spirit to pray for you. When we have prayed all kinds of prayers, all kinds of supplications and intercessions, and when you have groaned and poured out your heart to God about a situation, then you must stand still and trust the Holy Spirit to descend, to intercede with God the Father for you in perfect harmony, in perfect harmony to God's will. Rest assured, I want to end here. Rest assured that the Holy Spirit's prayer for you will be heard, and God's answer will be a resounding what?
Yes.
Yes, and what? Amen. And amen settles it. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit prays those kind of prayers that I know God will say yes to. I know He'll say amen to it in my situation. I'm so thankful that I know He's causing all things to work together for my good. I'm so thankful that Jesus is interceding for me in heaven, and the Holy Spirit is interceding for me down here on earth. Aren't you? You're covered in prayer, my brother, my sister. You're covered in prayer, even when you're weak. When you don't know what to say, you are covered in prayer. God is praying for you. You remember what Jesus told Peter? Satan desires to what? Sift you, but the reason he won't be successful is what? I have prayed what? For you. That's our hope. Our hope is not the strength of our prayers. Our hope is not the effectiveness of our prayers. Our hope is the perfection of He who is praying for us. You getting this? That's where our hope rests. He's praying. The Holy Spirit is praying perfect prayers in your situation when you don't know what to pray. Thank God for the Holy Spirit and His work. Yes? Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And I guess I'd be remiss if I didn't say this. If you're not a Christian, then I would say that you haven't experienced this great miracle that the Holy Spirit, first of all, works in you. You haven't experienced this great miracle of being dependent upon the Holy Spirit to pray. And if you're not a Christian, it would be so wonderful if you would today, just make today the day that you surrender to Christ. Make today the day that you say yes to Him. If you have that sense that the Holy Spirit is at work in you right now, just yield to Him. Yield to Him. He wants to save you.
Yes.
He wants to heal you eternally. He wants to love you with that perfect electing love. Say yes to Him. Lord, we just thank You for Your great grace. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for the help that You give each of us in this area of weakness. And I ask You now to set us free from the burden of having to pretend we are strong prayer warriors and pretend that we have all the answers. Set us free today to be honest with our weakness, honest with You, honest with each other. And then would You deliver us to make us really effective saints in prayer. We love You, Lord, because You first loved us. May Your will be done here today, in Jesus' name. Amen.